Bible says, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together all in one place. This is 120 believers that were gathered in the upper room for as many as 10 days, praying, focused, looking for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Lord, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you do a mighty work in us, Lord, that we might better connect with you and connect with the kingdom, the plans, the purpose that you have for each of us, Lord. Lord, I pray understanding this morning, Lord, of our opportunities that you give us to connect with you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Well, I appreciate Pastor Scott kind of rolling back through time. I did notice he didn't tell us how old he became, but 49 glorious years. I wanted to roll back about 23 years or thereabouts. My wife might bring correction, but we were young married couple living in just outside of Tecate, Mexico, an orphanage. Met Julie Camacho there, and we were young, and we've been married less than a year. I was right out of Bible college, and we're living in a little duplex that had been built for us by a missions team that came down there, and it wasn't ours, but we lived there. And I remember one day, I think it was my day off, and I'm just sitting in the living room, and just sitting on the couch and relaxing and reading and just really just enjoying the day. You know what I'm talking about? Nod your head. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, right? And Lisa turns to me and says, "So are we in a fight or what?" And I'm like, "What?" She says, "We haven't said a word to me all afternoon." And I said, "Man, I was just thinking how great it is to just sit here and enjoy one another's presence and just be connected." We're talking about being connected to the kingdom of God. And we talked about this all last month, and I appreciate your words this morning, George. But we've talked about connecting to the kingdom, and if you're going to make that connection, you're going to connect in prayer. Can I get a witness on that? This is Pentecost Sunday, and we celebrate this work of God in the lives of the believer that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We call it that because Jesus, or actually John the Baptist, talking about Jesus as he is ministering along the Jordan, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, describes what he says about Jesus: "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so today we talk about this baptism that provides us with a dynamic connection with the kingdom of God. Now, I've been trying to focus on living the connected life. And if you are connected, you realize that there is a cost. Now, I don't know of anybody yet who is looking for a refund. Amen? Spiritually healthy people live connected to the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, to make that connection, you gotta slow down. You have to get a focus, and you have to get connected. It is in that connection that we are transformed. We move further and further and further into the kingdom. And as we move further in, we are shaped by the kingdom of God. Amen? So we are transformed by the Holy Spirit. He comes into our lives. We are created to make that connection. Doesn't just happen. Got to slow down. Got to get focused. Got to make that connection. Today, we're going to talk about spiritual connections. Amen? Amen? All right, let's take a look. We're going to spend a lot of time in John and in 1 Corinthians today. So, Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus describes this spiritual life, that it is completely different than everything that we know. John 14, 16 through 18, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And Jesus is saying, you need help to make the connection with the kingdom of God. Now, we were created to make that connection. We are created as eternal beings. We are created to live in communion with God. But sin messed it up. The creator of the world stepped out to help us reconnect, and they killed him. See, the world wants nothing to do with the connection to the kingdom of God. It does all it can to get away from the kingdom. The Holy Spirit comes, thank you, Tommy. The Holy Spirit comes to reverse all that. Now, the Bible tells us that we are spiritually dead in our sins. This is a representation of us, a three-part being of body, soul, and spirit, right? We come to the Lord and we are dead in our spirit. We surrender our lives to the Lord. The Holy Spirit wakens up, brings life to our spirit. Thank you very much. And we are indeed new creations in Christ. Amen? Now, we get the opportunity to move into that life. You have to slow down. You have to get focused. You can make that connection. You have to slow down your soul. Your soul is kind of like where you live. That's where you think. It's where your emotions are. It's where your will is. And so you calm down your soul to make contact with your spirit. Okay? Slow down. Get focused. Make the connection. Holy Spirit comes to connect with your spirit. Find how to slow down the rest to get through. Amen? Amen? All right, here we go. I told Pastor Paul, this ain't your normal Pentecost message. I've been preaching here 18 years. This is a new thing. John chapter 10. Connected Christians recognize the King. Amen? Talk about recognizing his voice. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Connected Christians, if you are connected with the kingdom of God, you have come to hear and recognize and understand the voice of God. You see, I do not believe that God is on Facebook. I do not believe that God has a Twitter account. I don't know that God even has email. There is an old song, says, "Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want." But the kingdom of God is more complex than that. Amen? You must slow down. You must get a focus. Then you can make that connection. It is in that connection that you can hear and distinguish and recognize the voice of God. Old Testament tells us about the prophet Elijah, that he was in great commotion, running away from Jezebel and the attack and impending death, and he's running, and there's fire and storm and all this drama around him. But God speaks to him in a whisper, a still, quiet voice. 1 Kings chapter 19. It was in that still whisper that the Lord reveals his prophecy for the next 40 years for Israel. Slow down. Get focused. Make the connection. What might God reveal to you if you heard his voice? He might want to change you, your character, more love. My wife says, yeah. She prays for that for me all the time. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, all kinds of stuff. I want to change you. He might change what you do, like those random movements that happen to form the God A household. And Josh is saying, amen, yeah, I appreciate those random moves. He might say, time for you to do something for me. Join me in a new area of kingdom service. He might let you in on what's coming down the road. It might be something that you can be prepared for. It might be something that you can let somebody else know about. Amen? I want to talk about this for a minute. And last week, I talked about buying a car, and it's getting running and all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to talk something a little bit more spiritual. I want to illustrate how this connection works for me. And your connection might be different. But as Pastor Scott said, I'm going to describe to you mine. Talk about slowing down. Talk about get a time. Get a place. Slow down, get a focus, get connected. We talked about praying. Talk about praying acts. A-C-T-X-S. Adoration. Confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And you're still rolling through all that stuff. So I have a time in the morning. I have a place, my new chair, and I calm down, I slow down, and I get a focus, and I start praying that Acts thing, and I connect with the kingdom of God. I want to talk to you about the skate park outreach. And could be a number of things, coming here, coming, you know, marry my wife, all kinds of things. But I get that connection, right? And when we're talking about the skate park, I'd already sent my son out there, who's big like Josh, and he grew up in the church, and sent him out there to connect with these kids, and he came back and he said, Dad, that is a dark place. Those kids want nothing to do with the Lord. And I'm like, okay, we're done. We're moving on. And I get down to that quiet place, that focused place, and I would see the skate park. Over and over again. You know, you get to that quiet place with God, and you learn his voice, and I'm seeing that skate park, and I would drive by, and all of a sudden, it's just like, skate park! And I'm like, okay, God. Because it's in that connected place that you learn the voice of God. Amen? Amen? We'll talk about that today. Sorry I had that picture up too long, but all right. Holy Spirit knows the way. Holy Spirit knows the way. Continuing on in John chapter 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. You see, when we step into the kingdom, everything is new. God makes us alive in Christ, and we are indeed new creations. We are spiritually alive, but we are spiritually untrained. And so everywhere we go, we have a new aspect of our lives, and the Holy Spirit comes to guide our spiritual growth. Now, you receive the Holy Spirit when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you sacrifice control of your life, when you say, Lord, I have messed up, here you go, I'm giving you my life, the Holy Spirit comes in to make a change, to give you new life, to bring your spirit alive, okay? I'm going to read to you John chapter 20, verses 20 and 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This was Resurrection Day. This was Sunday night, the night after the crucifixion, when he was raised from the dead, Easter Sunday. He breathed on the disciples, and they received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon them to give them direction and assistance in their ministry. Following me? You can read about that direction and that assistance in the book of Acts. I encourage you to. Much we're talking about today talks about how the book of Acts works by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That direction of the Holy Spirit continues on in the life of the believer today. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the fullness of the kingdom of God. See, God wants us to live kingdom lives, so he provides kingdom assistance. Does this make sense? Because George is talking about making the connection, right? It's a new thing. And you live that connected life, God wants you to connect. So the Holy Spirit comes to help us connect. Yeah? Wendy, tracking? All right. It's hard stuff. All right, let's keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except check that soundboard, see where that noise is coming from. Hope it's not me.
Turn every slide down but me. What was that?
Oh, isn't that just a joy? Yes. Okay. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Kingdom life is filled with kingdom mysteries. There is more to the kingdom than you are able to comprehend. It is like, I'm old now, but I used to love, Josh, you like going to smorgasbord buffet? Hometown, you know? Yeah, we used to do work projects, go to hometown buffet. So you go to a new smorgasbord, and you fill up your plate, right? And you're walking, just going, oh, man, this is so good. And then some guy comes up and says, did you see the seafood section? That's what the kingdom is like. There's always a new section. Amen? Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Man, we got some smorgasbord people here, don't we? Anyway, Ephesians 3, 17 through 18. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. What might the Lord reveal to you? People in trial. I'm right here. I am with you. Some of you, perhaps, you're totally scattered in your life. Time to get focused. There's always more to the kingdom. For those in hardships, well done. Keep it up. For others, get ready. Time to do something fabulous in the kingdom of God. We've been talking about improving our connection with the kingdom. Connection happens in prayer. How's your connection? How's your prayer? Are you doing good? You have to make time to connect. You've got to slow down. You've got to get focused and get connected. You get that connection going, and you're going to be able to recognize the voice of the Lord. Talked about hearing about the skate park, being led to the skate park by the Lord. And, you know, got my time, got my place, get slowed down, get focused, get connected, do my adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And sometimes get that connection, and there's nothing there. Now, sometimes I run into you guys, and I begin to pray for you. But sometimes there's nothing there. And I'll tell you what, sometimes, you know, I'm rolling in and I'm doing da-da, you know, get quiet, connected, focused, and I run into the presence of the Lord, I just stop all that stuff. Because connecting to the kingdom is my goal and my focus and my target. Does that make sense? And when there's nothing there, I just dwell in the presence of God. It is like being with Lisa in that room. It is so incredible to understand the voice of God, but it's also so incredible to just move into the presence of God. Writer of Hebrews says that we can move into that holy place and be sprinkled and cleansed and transformed by the presence of God. Man, it doesn't just happen. I mean, and you can get quick at it. I mean, been doing this, Pastor Scott, Pastor Paul, and people, my wife. I mean, you can move right into the presence of God. But it is a skill that is learned, not over many years, but in a long time of application. Amen? Are you tracking with it? Because I'm going to shift gears right now, right? We're talking about making the connection in the presence of God. Okay? All right. I wish I had a couple more amens, but now we're going to talk about Pentecost. Okay? And we're going to talk about spiritual language, because your spiritual language makes a spiritual connection. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. We're going to talk about the Pentecostal capacity for the connection. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit first happened on the day of Pentecost, we read about in Acts chapter 2. This is called a second work of grace in the life of the believer. All right? It follows the first work of grace, which is your salvation. Okay? Now, God does many works in the life of the believer. Called Lisa and I here, called us to Mexico, did all kinds of stuff. Called Pastor Scott and Lisa to New Mexico. He moves in your life even when you're not aware of it. Amen? Now, these two works, your salvation, the baptism by the Holy Spirit, are pillars of your spiritual life, and so they stand out. Are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? Ah, thank you. This is a high-level message today, okay? So, somebody talk about me rubbing my head. Do I do that a lot? All right, the initial evidence of the baptism is speaking in tongues. All right? Paul described, they did it in Acts chapter 2. You can read about Acts chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19. All right, please read them. Read the whole book of Acts. It's a good book. Amen? I mean, the whole book. It's a good book. I hope you're spending time in it. Paul describes this as a spiritual language of God that we do not understand. Now, there is a public use of this gift, and there is a private use of this gift. In 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, he is bringing correction and instruction on the use of both. The church in Corinth was abusing the private gift. And you can read about that, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Again, I invite you to read it. It is a good book. We are going to focus on the private use of that language today. Okay? See, why? Because if you're going to connect with the kingdom of God, you're going to connect in prayer. And you got to slow down, you get focused, and get connected. Now, God provides a spiritual language to aid our connection with the kingdom. Okay? Do you see how this fits? I'm going to go to the application in a second. I'm trying to describe what it is. And then we're going to try to describe about how it works right now, okay? We're going to go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, because the Holy Spirit helps us pray. And the church in Rome was under great persecution. And so Paul is saying, and he talks about the frustration of the creation, waiting for the kingdom and the people of the kingdom of God to be revealed. And it talks about how this Roman church is in a persecution. Says, man, I know you're just struggling with that. So he says, in that same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So in the midst of turmoil, when you don't know how to pray, says the Holy Spirit prays for you. The Holy Spirit guides your prayer. Now, this language, this prayer language, this spiritual language happens below the level of the soul, okay? Soul is where you're thinking, where your emotions are, and all that kind of stuff. And Paul says, hey, when I pray in a tongue, my mind is unfruitful, right? I am praying below that. And he says, I'm praying out of my spirit. And so as you quiet your soul, your spirit is able to make a connection. Remember that picture? Body, soul, spirit. Your soul. There's so much commotion going on. You've got to quiet your soul. Your spirit can make a connection. Does that make sense? All right. Let me get back on track here. I'm sorry. Now he also says, your mind is unfruitful. Right? You're praying in your spirit. And he's a fan. He says, I'm glad I pray in the Spirit more than all of you guys. So don't misunderstand Paul. He also says that as you pray in your spirit, that your spirit is strengthened. Your spirit is edified. And so how does it work? I'm going to tell you how it works for me. Okay? Third shot at this. Talked about skate park. Talked about just finding nothing, right? And just dwelling in the presence of God. Talk about sometimes meeting you guys. I pray for you. There you are. I don't know what it is, God. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is, God. There's something going on with this. I don't know what it is. All right. Got a time. Got a place. Slow down. Get a focus. Get connected. Make that connection, right? Get into the presence of God. And it's just like, whew, yeah. And I'm quiet. Or I pray in the Spirit. Why? Because here, I'm in the presence of God. As I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit directs my prayers unknowing to me and lines me up on the will of God. I am being built up in my spirit. And sometimes you, not all of you, one of you, two of you, and I know some of what's going on, and I just will pop up at that moment and I just lift you up before the Lord and I just begin to pray in the Spirit on you because I don't know what's going on, but God knows what's going on and He directs my prayer and I'm being built up and there's a spiritual connection and it is good. Does that make sense? I cannot imagine living without that connection. And I know many of you have that connection. Now, I can't imagine living without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. There are many who do. You do not need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get a time, get a place, to get a focus, and get connected and enter into the presence of God and understand His voice. To dwell in His presence. Now, we're talking about Pentecost. And Lisa, you can come up. Well, keep that guitar off and she'll just play in the air. Well, that's good. So, all right. Well, whatever. Don't worry about it right now. It's Pentecost. 120 believers in that upper room for as many as 10 days. Jesus walked for 40 days. Pentecost was 50 days. So if he was raised on the 40th day, they went right to the upper room. They would have prayed for as many as 10 days. That allows them to have a place, have a time to get focused and make that connection with the kingdom. In that connection, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. They are transformed, and 3,000 are added to the church on that Pentecost Sunday. So, what do we do in 2017 in City Heights? Well, what we need to do, for sure, slow down, get focused, and get connected. Amen? Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you are able to step into the presence of God, and you do step into the presence of God regularly. Many of you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit and know what I'm talking about, having your spirit built up in prayer. And we're going to pray up here in a minute. Lisa's going to sing, and the worship team's going to come. Not yet, though. And realistically, unless you are, I mean, I can kneel down there and I can move right into the presence of the Lord in just a matter of seconds, okay? But if you're not familiar with it, it's probably not going to happen up here. But I tell you what, you can take some steps. You can become familiar with that quieting, you get your soul kind of calm down. Come on Saturday for an hour. We worship, we do that stuff. You will learn to get that quiet going. And as you practice that quiet and you get that focus, you'll learn the connection. And it realistically, oh, it's been here all along. I just never realized it. Right? As you make that connection, and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is a time to ask. Lord, I want all you have for me. There's so much frustration and confusion in my life about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, people are just joking, man. They sound like fools. They're just faking, whatever. Until I realized, Lord, if this is from you, I want all that you got. And I'm telling you, get slowed down, focused, and connected. You say, oh, my Father, I want all you have for me. Lord, I want your baptism. I want your call. I want to know from you. I want to know where I got to grow. I want to know where I got to go. I want all there is to get in the kingdom, and I know there's more than I got. I invite you this morning to come. The presence of the Lord is here. You might not get into the most holy place, but you can learn a step or two. Especially if you're struggling. I invite you to come. Find out what he feels like. Amen. Find out what he sounds like. And your life will be transformed. Amen? Worship team's going to come. We're going to sing. Let's all stand. I invite you to come. I'm going to step into the most holy place right here. I invite you to join me. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Gloria a Dios.
Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain.